Animal Collective's new album, Centipede Hurts, is out now. The band's last album, Merriweather Post Pavilion, their eighth record, cracked the top 20 in America and peaked at number 26 in the UK. The four piece, each member is also known by his nickname. So, A.V. Tear, which is David Porter, Panda Bear, Noah Lennox, Deacon, Josh Dibb, and Geologist, Brian Weitz, originally formed in Baltimore and recently moved back before they recorded the new disc. I started out my conversation with David Porter and Brian Weitz asking about that move back to Baltimore.
It seemed like actually the most, at the time and at the end of 2010, just the most practical thing to do. Just to be able to get us all together. And that was the main reason to do it, just having to Noah moving with his family to Baltimore. And I just was kind of personally ready to leave New York, so it felt like a good transitional place to go to while I was trying to figure out where I wanted to end up next. Yeah, just because we have the space in Baltimore to play, and it seemed like, yeah, the best place to do it. For me personally, it was a little strange. You know, I moved into a house that was right by the high school that Brian and Josh and I went to, and, you know, just driving on the same roads again, back to Josh's mom's place, which is kind of where we started playing in a certain sense. There was just a weird kind of eerie element to it, you know, where it's like a changed a lot, and that a lot of other stuff hasn't changed around Baltimore. And, you know, of course, like, Maryland's so nice and beautiful, and that there was that side of it too, and the winter is really nice, and it was during the winter and it snowed a lot, and, you know, there was like a lot of great things about it too, but there was also this weird sort of going back, you know, kind of haunting feeling.
So a little regressive in a way, kind of.
Yeah, sort of.
Wow, it's now, okay. Now here's the other aspect about where I've talked to a lot of people about whether their physical place they are affects how they write, and I guess from a lot of the urban places, I mean even Lisbon where Noah was living, Baltimore is, particularly that part of Maryland, a little bit more bucolic. Did that seep in?
I think it's hard to point to a specific sound or something on the record where it's like, well, that's, you know, that scenery or something. I definitely think the physical experience of us all being around there, you know, everything down to like commuting to work every day, you know, snowstorms sometimes interrupted our workflow. But just I'd say more the physical, like the structure kind of we were in, just being at Josh's house. You know, I don't know if it was like an expansive landscape that influenced us so much, but sort of being in this, it's like a converted barn that Josh had helped build on his mom's property, and so it had like an upstairs and a couple rooms, and then there's inside Josh's house, or there's, you know, outside in the driveway or in the yard. You know, we sort of set it up a little bit like a workshop. It wasn't all jamming all the time, so sometimes we would play for a couple hours and then, you know, recorded, and someone would be like, well, I'm going to take this and go outside or upstairs or something and work on my parts for it. And our physical surroundings definitely influenced the record in that way. But it doesn't, I don't know if, it, for me personally, it doesn't really sound like a Maryland countryside record so much, you know.
Well, let's hear some music. What do you guys want to start off with?
Well, we can start with Today's Supernatural, I guess. It's, you know, one of the early melodies I wrote for this group of songs, and it's also kind of like the lightning rod of the songs in a way, in the sense that it was the first one we kind of wrote and felt really like it was what we wanted everything else, the energy of everything else, to kind of be balanced against. And when we actually recorded it and mixed it, you know, every step of the way, it was kind of like what we always looked to as something that every song had to be as good as, you know, sound quality wise and just energy wise. So it's a good place to start.
Thank you. gotta go get mad, mad. Come on, let, 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 let go.
That is today's Supernatural, one of the early songs on Centipede Hertz, and one of the early ones that was actually recorded by Animal Collective, as we're finding out today. We're getting a chance to talk with half of the band, A.V. Tear, Dave Portner, and geologist Brian Weitzer with us today, and in our conversation, but of course, Panda Bear and Deacon also playing as Animal Collective unveils this new album, Centipede Hertz. Now, here's an interesting question. If when you started, you all had certain strengths musically. Have those strengths stayed the same, or have things bounced around as to who's someone's become a better singer, someone a better writer, et cetera?
Well, I definitely, personally,
I guess I would hope we all
feel this way, but I think you definitely grow. You know, I think I've grown in a lot of ways, singing wise and playing different things. I think for us, it's also been a lot about trying a lot of different things out as we've gone, you know, and just experimenting. And I think sometimes when you don't know something about an instrument, and that's the way, especially as a songwriter, like that's the way I find my way into writing interesting songs to me, is just like kind of discovering a new instrument or new territory. So I think that's one reason we kind of go all over the place with our records as well. We're also really into the recording aspect and have been since we were in high school. So I think that's something over the years. It's been slow, but that we've grown at, especially recently, just getting into our own home recording situations.
Yeah, what was your first recording thing like when you were in high school?
You know, I think we just recorded on cassettes, or like just basic, actually tape decks. I can remember you know, using two cassettes and switching them back and forth and doing the dub and like recording a new track and then recording that onto another cassette, but then, you know, moving to four track and then moving to cassette eight track and then moving to reel to reel and, you know, and then moving to the digital world with mini discs. We've tried so many different things.
Brian, I read that you are somewhat interested in ambient music and become kind of somewhat interested in some of the aspects of that. Does that stem from the early days? In fact, I read something where there were certain kinds of new electronic music that you guys didn't even realize existed, and so you ended up reinventing it because mm-hmm. you were fooling around.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all interested in ambient music and or like more tape collage stuff or music concrete mm-hmm. stuff, early synthesizer music, early tape music. We heard it initially in horror movies. The soundtrack to Texas Chainsaw Massacre had been described as music concrete. We didn't know what that was. Dave thought it that it was actually the name of the soundtrack. The soundtrack existed somewhere, and that was the name of it on the record. And then Stanley Kubrick in, you know, The Shining and Clockwork Orange, we found out about Wendy Carlos there and Christoph Penderecki and Ligeti and these sort of modern classical composers. And, you know, we weren't super interested in, like, the academic side of it. We just thought this stuff sounded really cool. And but to us, it was always in the context of film. And, you know, we thought we had this amazing idea, like, well, this stuff can actually be really powerful and emotional even without, you know, staring at something. The music, the sound design just sounds great on its own, you know. And it was this big revelation for us, like, non-musical sounds can be just as interesting as musical sounds, and we should just start recording, you know, all the time, where we just make noise and bang on things or look for interesting sounds. And, you know, and so we would record it and we'd send it out to these record labels and be like, we have this great new idea. And then we would get, you know, some responses back being like, I think you guys should maybe do a little bit more research, like, this stuff exists quite a bit. And and like, you know, you sound okay, but you have a lot of growth, you know, that's ahead of you.
Do you do any recording of natural sound when you're on tour? Do you get a chance to do any of that?
I tried definitely with this album and this era. I actually set a limit on myself that I would not do it at all. Because I feel like for Merriweather, that was such a big part of the sound, the sort of outdoor ambience and field recordings and, trying to keep it very natural sounding, because we wanted that record to sound like it took place in an outdoor space, and this one was a bit more supposed to sound like it was in an indoor space, like a, you know, a control room or something. So, you know, I was like, no bugs, no water, nothing like that, you know. So pretty, which
is, well, that's interesting, because a lot of the noise in between the tracks, it kind of sounds like an intergalactic shortwave, which is definitely not natural sounding, which is kind of really one of the cool things about the record.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to sound like with those things.
We're talking with Animal Collective today about Centipede Hurts, which is the new album, the follow-up to the extremely popular Merriweather Post. And what do you guys want to play next?
I guess next we'll play a track called Newtown Burnout.
Thank you.
Newtown Burnout from Animal Collective's new Centipede Hurts. And that is a bit of coming home to it, the, lyrically, that mm-hmm. song. And was that written back in Baltimore?
Yeah, Noah wrote that song. It's definitely about the experience of coming back to Baltimore. I don't know if it's really in so much the like peaceful, comforting sense of coming back home. I think it's quite the opposite. It was for Noah and me, for this record, when we were writing it, we both had small children, and we were both pretty exhausted. They're like, we would be up early and then, you know, have to commute to practice. Noah would drop his daughter off at school, and I had to drop my kid off at daycare, or, you know, with one of my parents to babysit. And so it was, he and I didn't get a lot of sleep for this record, and I think that's kind of reflected in the lyrics to this song.
Animal Collective, our guest today, and we're talking about we're actually just scratching the surface of Centipede Hurts. But you guys have one more you want to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this track actually isn't on the record, but it was recorded during the session with and written when most of the other songs were written during that 3 months in Baltimore, and we call it Crimson. It has more of a mellower kind of feeling to it, so that's why it actually didn't end up on the record, because we wanted the record to be full of jammers. And although the song does jam in a sense, it's just a little more down tempo. ¶¶
crying out, but trying not to show he's lost his pride. Looks for somewhere safe to die and goes along.
So we can call that an outtake from Centipede X Crimson?
Mm-hmm. From the record,
sure, yeah.
Thank you so much for playing live to us, and congratulations on this album. You've done everything I think you set out to do. It's definitely propulsive and sounds really like a band playing together, which is really great.
Thanks. It's been cool to play here for you.
Animal Collective, our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.